You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Patrick Doerr. Patrick, thanks so much for being with me today.
Oh, thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Patrick, let's talk about what's going on in your studio right now. What's happening at the moment? And are you in Brooklyn now as well?
Yeah, I'm in Brooklyn. It's where I live and it's where my studio is. It's funny that you ask, because I was working when I got the notice that I had to do this call, and we scheduled this a couple months ago, so I had actually forgotten about it. And I was, in that creative flow, and I was, oh man, I got to stop and do this interview. So yeah, I'm working as inspiration hits.
So what is it what's in the studio now? What are you working on?
Well, I'm actually working on just a collage piece at the moment, but I have a solo exhibition coming up in just a couple of weeks. So I've just been doing final touches to the pieces that will be going in that exhibition. And it's great, man, because a lot of the work that's going in, I haven't looked at for a year or two. So it's like being reunited with old friends.
Right. And where will that show be?
It's in Brooklyn here, and it's at the Museum of Contemporary African Diaspora Arts, or Makata.
And how many pieces will you have in that show?
So many. And it's not a big space. it's a fairly small museum gallery space, and I think I'm going to have about 40 between 40 and 50 pieces in there. So I'm jamming it in, but I've curated it already, so it should flow nicely even with that amount of work.
And so this sounds like you're tapping into older works as well as newer works, because that's a lot of work there, right?
Yeah, but I'm really prolific, so that's not even a quarter of what I have. But yeah, this is all. So the title of the show is God Body, and so the work is all based around the theme of divinity, and kind of like everyday people of color and their divine nature. So I've done a lot on that topic. So I have a ton of work that fits that theme. So it was easy to pull 40 pieces in art.
Let's talk about some of those works. There's one on your website called The God Supreme. I don't know what year that's from, but it's a figure that looks like they have a halo collaged outfit that's holding branches, and there's blood coming out of their hands. So this is, it seems like a mix between a kind of an icon with the use of yellow and gold and the halo, and also the symbolism of the bleeding plant, the bleeding hands. Can you tell me a little bit about what's happening in that piece?
Yeah, that, and thank you for calling attention to that piece. That will be in this show. So that's an interesting piece in that it developed kind of on its own. It started out as just a one canvas profile portrait, and then if you're looking at that piece, you'll see it's I think four or five attached canvases. So it literally grew, as it grew, it kind of started taking on its own life. And I was reading Octavia Butler, Wild Seed, is a trilogy of novels that she wrote, and it's a dystopian story, so it's really about reaping. Your blood goes into the harvest. The harvest, the produce feeds you, but you also put your blood and sweat and tears, well, sometimes tears, into the harvest. So it's like reaping your sorrow. And so that was kind of like the development of it. But it didn't start out with that way. It's interesting. I had that profile for probably 6 or 7 months, and then I started rereading that trilogy of books, and it I went back to it, and then it developed into the, you know, with the bleeding hand holding the plant.
And where did that bleeding hand come from? What is that? I mean, is this? I mean, it sounds like they're tied to not just, you know, icons are so specific in their mm-hmm. their kind of biblical references, but you're drawing from books, from cultural experiences, from a number of different things, right?
Yeah, and, well, you just kind of answered it. That's exactly it. It's coming from every piece of influence that comes to me, and I'm not that calculated that I sit down and think, you know, I'm going to reference, you know, this thing or this book, or it kind of comes organically or divinely, and then I'm able to look back and say, oh, I think I was really under the influence of, in this case, that book Wild Seed, and that was sort of how it manifested. But I wish I was that deliberate when I'm creating.
So maybe we should talk about the creation process, because there's another one that I think comes from Wild Seed. It's The View from Here. And it's a similar one. It's a multi-panel piece. It's a profile that looks like it reads left to right, only the branches is wilted.
Right.
So, I mean, it feels like there's a story in there, right? Especially compared with what we were just talking about. This feels
right.
like next stage. It feels like evolution or devolution. I don't know, but it feels like a story in there.
Oh, it absolutely is. And it's that piece, similar story to the God Supreme piece. That piece, The View from Here, was a profile on a single canvas. And after I did God Supreme, you know, then I got excited. Like, oh, I found a new thing, which was building pieces by adding canvases. And so I went back and found The View from Here. And that actually also was built from that Wild Seed reference. I highly recommend that trilogy, Octavia Butler, Wild Seed. And it's a dark dystopian story, but like a lot of dystopian stories, there's a lot of hope in it as well. And so it's a connection to the land, a connection to past traumas and histories, and that's where the blood comes in. And there's some stuff that's just practical, and I'm going to give away a secret. The reason why that plant is wilted is because I couldn't get the canvas to sit in such a way for the plant to be erect. And so, you know, I just had to go with, you know, sometimes the art or the situation dictates what it's going to be. So I would have preferred, in my own will, to have the plant upright and erect, but I just couldn't figure out how to make it happen. So once I experimented with it and it ended up looking wilted, there's a story there too. And so, I was happy that it turned out that way, because that might even have a deeper meaning than I intended.
Right, right. And as you were saying before, so often, and this happens with art, right, you look back on something and then understand the influences once you look back on it. And I'd like to talk about more of your work, but also you have, an impressive music background. And we're not talking about music today. We're talking about your visual art. But, of course, that had to influence what you're doing to some degree, I would imagine.
Oh, yeah.
You've had a high profile as a not just a teaching artist, but that playing with Grammy Award winning artists and on some great great records. How does that influence your visual art now? Because that's in some ways a different world. I mean, it's all the arts, but still,
right.
It's another world altogether.
It's a different discipline, but it's the same to me. One of the beauties is I have a drum setup in my studio where I also, paint and create art. And so I'll paint and then reach a point where I'll get a little blocked or tired, and I'll go play drums for a while. And that really helps me work through any blocks I might have, when I was younger, I didn't do much art. I was playing drums, and And it worked the opposite, where I'd be playing drums, and sometimes I'd get, you know, like just a little frustrated trying to find a beat or a rhythm, and I would stop and do some sort of art, make some sort of art, and it would help. So they've always kind of gone hand in hand. I don't think I could ever be happy just doing one, you know, just making music or just creating art. They have to coexist.
And let's talk about one other piece. There's a piece that might be older work for you. It's called Shaman, and a figure of a man, looks African American, holding up one arm, and then there are these circles around the image. And you know, shamans are particularly interesting to me because I think art is a kind of shamanic activity, right? We're sending out messages into the world that we hope are received in some ways, and they're inspired by unknown origins, really, right? Why do people make art? You know, it's not like they're producing a product for the market that you know will be purchased or something. It's message oriented. So let's talk about shaman if we can a little bit, and what that's about, because those circles again look it may be just how you're composing it, but it looks also like it's narrative, like there's a story there.
Man, that's so great, by the way. Thank you for referencing that piece, because I haven't thought about that one for a really long time. That was one of the first pieces that I did when I kind of finally admitted that I was an artist. And it took a long time for me to get to that place. I've been making art all my life, but I would never claim the title artist. If people said, you know, you're an artist, I'd say, no, I make art, but I'm not an artist. And only about 3 years ago did I claim that, and kind of own it for whatever that's worth. And Shaman was one of the first pieces. And so thank you for bringing that up. You know, Shaman to me is the same thing as a sorcerer. And a sorcerer, which has this negative connotation, you know, a sorcerer puts spells on people, and a lot of times you think, you know, it's a negative thing or a dark thing. But I feel like, much like what you were saying, an artist has to connect to a source bigger than themselves. That inspiration has to come from somewhere other than themselves, at least when it's done purely, I think. You're connecting to that source, and in that sense, you're a sorcerer. You're able to connect to the source, and by doing that, you're conjuring these images. You're conjuring what was on the blank canvas now has a new life, there's a new creation, and that's magic. I mean, it's you know, you're making something appear from thin air, and that is in some sense the definition of a miracle or magic. And so that shaman is a sorcerer, and those circles are, you know, what's available in the universe that you can pull from if you're in touch with your source. So there's always inspiration floating around you, and a sorcerer who's in a line with the source can access those inspirations, you know, through meditation, through, spiritual practices. I think those divine inspirations you can attract them and channel them. And that's all my art, man. I'm self-taught. I don't have a lot of technical background. Everything's kind of coming, I'd like to believe, is coming from the source.
Well, it feels that way, and certainly looking at them.
Thanks,
so I want to congratulate you on that upcoming show, and I hope the listeners can come and see that show. And I want to ask you one more question, which is, what are you reading?
Can I say one real quick thing about that
show?
Yeah,
please do. Yeah, if there's anything else I should have asked or didn't.
Oh, no. It's a shameless plug, but it's downtown Brooklyn. It's on November 8th at Mokata, Museum of Contemporary African Diaspora and Art. And just as a note to get you in, besides hopefully wanting to come see my art, there are going to be some. So I've been in, and I should probably not do this, but I'll do it anyway. Jill Scott has bought a few pieces from me, and she's likely going to come to the show. And then Black Thought from The Roots reached out to me just a couple of days ago and said that he's going to come to the show. So there should be some celebrities there, which I'm super excited about. And they're also both really awesome people. So come look at art and maybe meet a couple of your your musical heroes.
Yeah. I'm glad you said that. That's good to say because, that'll help
people
too. And those are heroes of mine too. So that's cool.
Oh, that's dope.
So what are you reading at the moment? I mean, you told us really a little bit about Wild Seed, but what are you reading now?
So you know, I dropped out of high school, man. I never went to college, and no, that's a terrible thing to say. But I've read, you know, throughout my life. So I usually keep two or three books going. So I have my son gave me this book called Long Division, which I'm about halfway through. It's super interesting. It's Kaisi Lehman. I'm kind of enjoying it, and it's similar, you know, similar to Wild Seed in that it goes back and forth in time. It's not dark, but it time travels, and it's pretty interesting. I'm enjoying that, and then I've been reading Deepak Chopra's The Spiritual Laws of Yoga, and that's sort of where I got that idea about tapping into the source and making you a sorcerer. So it's The Seven Spiritual Laws of Yoga by Deepak Chopra. So I'm reading those two and a bunch of other stuff that I can't remember right now.
Well, Patrick, I want to thank you for talking with me today and wish you well on your show.
Man, thank you so much for contacting me. It's a pleasure.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.